pray.
Lord, we thank you, God, for this Resurrection Sunday morning to come and celebrate your coming into Jerusalem, being persecuted, prosecuted, crucified, buried, and finally, Lord, on the third day, you have resurrected. Indeed, Jesus, you have risen. So we thank you, God, for once again, for our people of God to come and remember what you have done. And because of what you've done, Lord, the living hope that we can enjoy and rejoice in. So Lord, would you bless this time, this day of a focus on your resurrection and also baptism thereafter. Would your presence be here strongly and our hearts be encouraged. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, once again, that was a great sunrise service. For how many of you, this was the first sunrise service? Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this first time Sunday, Resurrection Sunday service. Oh, okay. It's not new. Very good. I'm thankful that the Lord is faithful to bring all our brothers and sisters back. I think this is quite a number, the highest number of people in person. And doesn't mean those who are in Zoom are not important, but we are thankful that we are slowly getting back to normal in-person worship. So I'm thanking the Lord, and I hope you are too as well. So this morning, what we're going to talk about is on the topic of the resurrection, but I normally give the meaning of the resurrection. And I thought you heard that. Oh, wait a minute. I cannot say that you heard that enough. Because it's like DFT. You know, we go through DFT over and over again. And if anyone takes the Bible study that we do, because we lead people to Bible study over and over again, and if anyone takes the study of God's word as information, and then you come back to the same thing, then you will say, oh, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. But if a person who has the Holy Spirit comes to the same Bible study, you'll say, wow, that was a blessing. I was reminded once again. So if the Holy Spirit is stirring up in you, even though it's the same word of God that you know, it just gets refreshed. Our soul gets refreshed by the truth. So resurrection is the same. Jesus is coming. You know, we celebrate Christmas of Jesus' birth. And we celebrate Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. It's the same message that Jesus came, died, and resurrected. But because we have the Holy Spirit, even as much as we hear it, it should really be a refreshing blessing, bringing power if we've been regenerated, just transformation. So I normally talk about the meaning of resurrection, of course, just to briefly cap, is that as Jesus resurrected, the fact that Jesus came and died, but he was resurrected because, you know, death could not hold him. Because he had no sin, even though he died for all sins of humanity, he himself had no sin. So after he died, death could not hold him. So he resurrected. He resurrected from death. And what does that mean? The meaning of that is We too, who believe in Christ, it's like we've been crucified with Christ, buried, and we were resurrected together with Jesus. We've been resurrected. I was thankful that, was it Sunny? Sunny stopped me one Sunday afternoon and she said, "Oh, I read this passage about resurrection." And then she read it in Chinese and she said, "Oh, I felt the power. My thinking of negative thoughts just went away." Whoa, that's great. You told me that, is that right, Sunny? She felt the power of the resurrection power just pushing out her negative thoughts. The Word of God is powerful. There is a resurrection power. We've been resurrected with Christ, but the other thing is that at the end time, when Jesus comes, if we're alive, we will be lifted up to be with Jesus and with God forever. But if we died by that time, if we believed and were forgiven and we died, and Jesus comes back, because we've been forgiven of sin and we have the Holy Spirit, we too will be resurrected. So just in the way, how does it happen? It's. I just wanted to briefly go through 1 Thessalonians 4, we just read this morning. It says in 16:18, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven." This is the time when either you're alive or you're dead. When Jesus comes back, Jesus will come down from heaven with a cloud, with a loud command, with the voice of the archangels. The archangels are commanding, you know, with a loud voice. And with the trumpet call of God, you know, there'll be trumpet going on, ba-boom, ba-boom, everywhere. And there's voice of archangels all over the place. And the Lord himself will be come down from heaven. Somehow he's coming down from heaven on a cloud. It couldn't be just one location because everybody sees him. I don't know if there's a fourth dimension is a XYZ and time, right? I don't know if there's a fifth dimension that you could see the same thing in all directions. So somehow when Jesus is coming down, everybody around the world are going to see Jesus coming down. I'm not sure if there's like a, you know, video projection everywhere, but it's got to be more complicated than that. So Jesus comes down, everybody sees. There's loud commands, a voice of archangels, and the trumpet call of God everywhere. And it says the dead in Christ will rise first. Dead in Christ. Those who are dead who believed, they will be resurrected. And it says somewhere else, at a blink of an eye, at a blink, everybody blink. Blink, that's a pretty short blink. At a blink of an eye, the corrupted body turns into an incorruptible body, eternal body. So at that point, wherever our spirit and soul were, at the time that the body is being resurrected, it's like united. And so with a new incorruptible body, we're lifted up in the cloud. There, it says, we who are still alive and are lifted, will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. So first, the dead in Christ will be rising to be with the Lord. And those who are alive at that time when Jesus comes back will be caught up and to be with the Lord in the air and forevermore. So therefore it says here, so that we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore encourage one another with these words. So for those who are believers, we don't mourn when people die. I mean, this context is believers died among the Thessalonians, and they were sad. But it says that we should not grieve like those who do not believe. They have no hope. They have no thought of being resurrected. But we, who are believers, we should encourage one another with these words because we have the hope of resurrection. Hope of resurrection. And that should bring us joy. And not hopelessness, but hope. So this is the literal way that it's going to happen when Jesus comes back. If we're alive, we'll be, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we will be lifted up together. Normally we call that a rapture. And if we're dead, then we'll be first resurrected with the new incorruptible body. So when I share this with you, how is your heart? Your heart should be overjoyed. If not, may the Lord fill you more with the Spirit so that the Spirit of God brings in that amazing joy. Well, I'll talk about that a little bit later. But the scripture further say in Romans 6, 5, for we have been united with him in death like his. We have been united with him in death like his. We will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. So since we died crucified with Christ on the cross, surely we'll be resurrected. You know, this is related to baptism thought. But in Romans 8, 11, how about during this lifetime? You know, what about this lifetime? So in Romans 8, 11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, you know, that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all involved in the resurrection of Christ. There's places where God raised them from the dead, the Spirit raised Jesus, and then Jesus himself says, I raised myself from the dead. So God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three in one, raised Christ from the dead. But here in this case, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Because of the Spirit who now lives in us because you repented and believed. Jackie, you believed. God gave you faith to believe and pray the prayer to receive Christ about a month ago. Is that right? It's only about a month ago. Do you know that now that the Holy Spirit is in you? Do you feel the presence somehow, some impact? Well, the Holy Spirit in us brings power of resurrection. And it says here, he who raised Christ from the dead, the Spirit, will also give life to your mortal bodies. Okay, touch yourself. This is your mortal body. But in this case, when it says the Spirit is able to raise your mortal bodies, you know, it does refer to even all the way to physical resurrection later on. But it also addresses your mortal bodies presently. So our spirit, soul, and body that we are living right now, mortal bodies. The Spirit who is in us can resurrect us. Resurrect us. So having said that, you know, I just wanted to focus on, you know, how God, through the Holy Spirit, God by the Holy Spirit, can resurrect us in our life. Our internal soul, more focus on the internal soul today. I talked about the physical resurrection, but I wanted to focus on internal soul resurrection. And so this is my prayer of resurrection for the people of God. This is a form of a prayer. So actually it says, may God, but can you type in the middle or not? Say, may God by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. So in my thing, I changed it, but I forgot to send it to you. So the prayer for you guys, and we should pray for each other in this way. I just praise God, I only made 5 points. You know, I can make like 14 points of prayer. But these are 5 things I just wanted to remind us. It is not new. Again, it's not new. It's something you heard. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you hear this and say, wow, I need that. And this is what I hope for you. May God direct your heart to know Christ and His love more. May God, by His Spirit, resurrect your heart. Whatever the condition of your heart, may God, by His Spirit, resurrect your heart to know Christ and love Him more. You know, like I said, one of the highest purpose and motivation and driving force for doing anything can be to know Christ. Why do you work? To make money? No, that's not the highest. Alyssa, why do you work? Oh, good answer. Let's see. Kaushik, why do you study? You don't know? Oh, just to get exercise, that's good. Well, know Christ. God's given me this like amazing body, given me energy, given me strategy. Wow, Jesus gave me this. You could just behold the universe and say, I want to know Christ. You know, knowing Christ and His love is probably the highest, you know, pursuit. That's why Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:10-11 says, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. So somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Resurrection from the dead. Again, I like to think this resurrection from the dead is definitely referring to the final resurrection from the dead. But even while we're living today, we can be resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. So wherever our hearts are, how much we are, you know, desiring God, desiring Christ. How many of you really want to know Christ and His love more? I'm sure you want to know Christ and His love more. But you are where you are. What can you do? Well, let's pray. God, by your Holy Spirit, would you resurrect my heart so that I want to know you, Jesus, more. I want to experience your love. That's the other part. Recently, I had a great sleep about 3 or 4 days ago. Today was not so good. But what I did that night, I mean, I try to do this, but sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I just, I'm not falling asleep. I was just thanking Jesus for everything I could think of. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus, for this, that. You know, I was just thanking Jesus. And then God reminded me of this verse, Romans 8. You know in all things you are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing in creation can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know this passage. But every time I come to this, I am just kind of really encouraged and affirmed. Nothing in the spiritual realm or the physical realm, nothing, even what I do or not do, even the enemy, Satan, demons, accusations, condemnation, judgment, anything, it cannot separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So when I started thanking Jesus about all these things, I just felt really relaxed. And my body was just totally relaxed, and I just fell asleep. And I woke up maybe 5 in the morning, which is pretty good. I normally wake up a couple of times in the middle of the night, and then I can't go to sleep. But when I woke up, it was like, I was so, my body, I could feel the drain just kind of like being replenished. So in remembering and knowing Christ's love, God's love that is in Christ Jesus, that does have power to rejuvenate us, resurrect us. So to know Christ, you know, every problem that we experience is somehow related to our knowledge of God. But if we know Christ, we know God. And if we know Christ and God, that is enough to bring us to solution in life. So I hope for you, God, by His Spirit, resurrect your heart to know Christ and His love more. So let's say that to one another, starting with may God. Ready? Okay. Okay, well, I was going to have you turn to each other, but you can't read it. So try to do one eye on the screen and one eye on the next person. So say this for the next person. Ready? Go. May God, by His Spirit, resurrect your heart to know Christ and His love more. You're blessing each other. You say, I receive it. That's great. Second thing I hope for you is may God, by His Spirit, resurrect you, having been born again, to a living hope. We all were blessed with faith, and we embraced it by faith. We believed it. God gave us the gift of faith, and we accepted it. We believed, and therefore we were born again. But if you're born again, you have entered into a living hope. You know what living hope is? Simply life-giving hope in your life. Hope itself is amazing. If you don't have hope, you get depressed, discouraged, lost. If there is no hope, there's no power of even rejuvenation and joy and delight. But if you're a born-again Christian, immediately you enter into this, you know, not deadening hope, but life-giving hope. That's what living hope is living hope, because when you hope in it, it gives you life. It gives you life, power of life. And so, this is a long passage, but this is where it comes from. First Peter, is it First Peter? Oop, I didn't put Peter there. I just put Peter there. Oops, I'm going to go back. Oh, you changed it. It's First Peter 1, 3 through 9. It says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So this has a very, I mean, not all verses had a connection to resurrection, but this one has a definitely a clear. Because Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, and because of God the Father, of His great mercy, He gave us new birth. But new birth, new born again birth into what? To a living hope, life-giving hope. life-giving hope. And so even though things in this life could be mess, could be all kinds of hardship and trial, things are not going well at school, or things are not going well at work, things are not going well in ministry, things are not going well in family. Whatever the environment or the situation, we have something much, much greater than this life. Things going well in this life. I have a living hope, life-giving hope that I will be with God forever. What a comfort, what a blessing. It goes on, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Into an inheritance. So living hope is for the inheritance we have in heaven. That cannot perish, spoil, or fade. The inheritance, of course, is God himself. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit himself is our inheritance. To be with him forever is our inheritance. To be received by him into eternal relationship is an inheritance. Even possibly crowns and recognition from God could be an inheritance. This eternal inheritance, the hope that I have in being with God forever, is the life-giving hope. This life is not over when I die. I die, but then I will be resurrected. This gives me plenty of hope. And this hope supersedes any hope on earth. Let's say Grant started, hit it big with the business. Wow, my company is off the ground and everybody wants me and my product. And oh, the hope of my company growing. Let me hire like Bing Chen and Kevin and, you know, Jackie. And if anybody want to quit their job, be employed with Grant because he'll pay you double. Even if you hit it big and your company has a great hope of growing, that hope is nothing compared to the living hope in eternal heaven. You know, everything that I just mentioned will burn away, will burn away. Everything here on earth will burn away. If we're looking to things on earth as a hope, it's a temporary hope, a foolish hope, because it doesn't give life. Things on earth doesn't give life. But if we focus on our hope in heaven to be with God forever, my goodness, that trust and hope that I'm going to be with God in heaven, that brings power. Even expecting Jesus' second coming, that's why it's good to remember his second coming. When you put your heart, you're blessed when you remember Jesus died for you, he resurrected for you. But when you think of Jesus' second coming, that also has a hope and power. It encourages and rejuvenates your soul. So to this end of being born into a living hope, it says here, in all this you greatly rejoice. Therefore, because of this hope, we have great rejoicing. It says, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials and temptation possible. Even though we go through trials and hardship, and definitely people, believers of the early church time, to become a Christian meant certain death, a threat of death, persecution, hardship. So they went through suffering, and we too as believers, if we follow Jesus, we will experience suffering. But for a little while, we had to suffer grief, all kinds of trial. But these have come, these sufferings and trials have come, so that the proven genuineness of faith, genuineness of your faith, which is greater worth than gold, which is greater worth than any gold on earth, which will perish even though refined by fire, may result in the praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. When Christ comes, because of this, we are born into the living hope. We greatly rejoice, even in spite of the hardship and the trial we experience on earth. The hardship and the trial is just a testing of our faith. So our faith could be proven true. How do you know if your faith is real or not? Well, when you go through hardship, what do? Do you moan in depression? Or do you respond in trusting God? Do you respond in doing the next obedient thing? That's the difference between whether a person's faith is headed towards the right direction or not, is when difficult time comes, whether you are moping over the terribleness of the difficult time and you're led astray. You move away from God. That shows your faith may not be so genuine. But when trials and suffering comes and you move towards Christ, move towards next best thing to obey, that is to pass the test. That is to pass the test. So as to be tested and proven more than gold, that it may result in the praise, glory, and honor from Jesus. When we are tested and we continue to persevere until Jesus is coming, then it will be praise, glory, and honor before the Lord. Therefore, you believe in him. Because your faith is being tested and you're being purified, even your faith to be more genuine. So you believe in Christ even more genuinely. And then when you are a believer with proven faith, it says you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. So resurrection to a living hope. And this is what I pray for you guys and myself. May God by his Spirit resurrect you, having been born again, to enjoy the living hope with inexpressible and glorious joy. So if you're not enjoying the inexpressible glorious joy, you're not enjoying it to the fullest yet. You need to be resurrected. Does that make sense? This living hope is inexpressible and glorious, joyous. And this is what we're born again for. Kind of like assurance of salvation. When you come to understand how your salvation is assured. Because that's what, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. It's to be just even assured that you're saved by the testing of your faith. So that in the meantime, before our ultimate salvation come, our soul in this lifetime be continually saved to enjoy the living hope like an inexpressible, glorious joy. So this is what I hope for you. Everybody repeat after me, or you can read it. One eye up there and one eye to the next person. Ready, go. May God by his Spirit resurrect you, having been born again, to a living hope. And also say this, with an inexpressible glorious joy. Ready, go.
With an inexpressible glorious joy.
Woo! You guys are blessing each other with amazing blessing. So in this Resurrection Sunday, let's hope for such resurrection in our lives. Next is, May God by His Spirit resurrect your faith to believe God for greater things. You know, this is just a reminder. You who've been a believer for a while, you know what living by faith is. And we shouldn't grow tired of living by faith. We shouldn't stop living by faith. And I hope this for you, that you would be resurrected. You know, God by His Holy Spirit will resurrect your faith even more to believe God for greater things. Well, I kind of did that when I was younger. You know, I had some experience. But this is a lifetime calling. Lifetime calling to live by faith, not by sight. Is that right? Is it only a temporary time while in college that I live by faith, not by sight? Eric of UCLA, is that true? Only live by faith in college? Okay, you got the right head. That's not it. Even now that you graduated and working, there's more opportunity to live by faith, right? There's more uncertainties, more life to live out. But I hope that you don't stop believing. It says in John 14, 12 through 14, it says, "Very truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So there's a focus on whoever believes in me. And also, how to do that is by asking and receiving, asking and receiving. And we have assurance of answer prayer on that. "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you receive, and your joy will be complete." So He wants us to ask so we can receive. He even says, whoever believes in me can do the works I do, what Jesus did. But He says, you could do even things more than me during, you know, His earthly time. Besides dying for us on the cross, He did a lot of work on the earth. But there's like Billy Graham and other evangelists who did bigger works. They reached more people than Jesus. So Jesus is saying, you can do things greater than these because I'm going to the Father, you know, interceding for you. I will do whatever you ask in my name. If you ask in the name of Jesus, so here's the place that we need to ask in the name of Jesus. It's through Jesus that we can reach the Father. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So He wants us to ask in the name of Jesus so that Jesus may be glorified. And what He has accomplished on earth, maybe affirm. He made disciples. He called the disciples to follow Him and believe in Him. When we believe in Him, God the Father is pleased. So we're called to ask anything in my name. Well, recently claiming this promise was at the beginning of fundraising for this training center. Praise the Lord. We're pretty much almost there, I think. Is that right? I got rid of my Facebook, so I don't know where we're at. But we're pretty close from a pursuit of almost 950,000. Less than 30,000, right? So it's like peanuts compared to 950,000, right? So it'll be done. But I claim this promise saying, if I ask anything in the name of Jesus, He said He will do it. So by God's grace that we're pretty close. But you know what else is pretty sovereignly amazing? This building took two years and 3 months. But if it was finished after a year, we only had half of the money. So the fact that God dragged it on, allowed it to be dragged on for 2 years and 3 months, is to give us time to raise the money. He promised to do it, he's going to do it, but then it took two years and this much. So if we believe in Christ and ask in his name, he will do it. Do you believe? Do you believe in that? Whether we are living by faith or sight or not depends on whether we believe in this. In a way, to the degree that we believe in his word, his promise right here, we will ask and experience receiving. So it's not one of those things, you know, I experienced that a little bit back then, but I hope for you that God will resurrect your faith to believe him for even more greater things. More greater things. If this was a workshop, I would say pair up with the person and share what great things you can pray to God for. But you could think about it. What is a great thing that you can ask God for? For his glory, not for my glory, for his glory. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So basically, Elijah prayed, and the rain stopped for 3.5 years. You know, God was trying to make a point to the Israelites. So he prayed and there was no rain, there was drought. And then he prayed and the heavens started giving rain and it produced crops. You remember that Elijah and the priest of Baal, there was a competition. Let's see who could pray and make the rain come. Quench the fire of the offering. So it was around that time. But the point actually here is the first sentence. Elijah was a human being even as we are. Was Elijah pretty awesome? Was he a powerful prophet? He was amazing. You know, he's put in one of these pedestals among prophets. He's a special man. But here in James the disciple says, Elijah was a human being. He was used greatly, but he's just a human being like you and me. This is the point right here. Elijah was a simple person like you and me, but he prayed and the rain stopped, and he prayed and the rain started. And James wants us to believe this. Just like he answered Elijah, if we prayed, God can do that. That is, if that's God's will. But he wants us to pray like Elijah because we are no less of a human being. We're not any more of a human being. We're no less of a human being than Elijah. And if God heard Elijah, God could hear us. We who believed in Jesus Christ. We who are born again. We who have the living hope. So I hope there's tons of lot more promises on prayer. Very empowering. But I think we need to exercise it. We forget too often. I was just reminding someone and myself being reminded. We cover assurance of answered prayer in John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and receive. And your joy will be complete. Well, after covering that with our new believers, I was just reminded, I need to not forget this promise. I need to pray for our people and invite our new believers to pray more. Jackie and Sam, we talked about John 16:24. Do you remember it? Quote it for us.
Uh-huh.
assurance of answer prayer. Until? Now, Jackie, you can't let Sam beat you. Yeah, that assurance of answer prayer, John 16, 24. Until what? Praise the Lord. So you memorized it, but are you practicing it? That's the next thing that I want to, I want to be faithful to help you to ask. So you'll receive. Kashi, remember we used to ask a lot? Are you still asking? You got into PhD program because we asked God. So it's not one of those one-time thing that you're believing in asking, but we want to be continually resurrecting our faith by the Holy Spirit to believe God for greater things. So, okay, let's say to one another, ready, go. May God, by His Spirit,
resurrect your faith to believe God for greater things.
All right, that's what I pray for you. Next thing is, may God by His Spirit resurrect your heart to love people as Christ loved you. And you know, whenever we talk about this, we feel like, I think I'm kind of short of obeying God fully in this way. So that's why we need some prayer. We need to pray that God by His Spirit will resurrect your heart to love people as Christ loved you. You know? And in fact, I would dare to say, life is about test of love. Life is about test of love. We're among people in a community. You cannot be not be with people unless you're really a hermit. You know, when you go to school, you're with people. When you go to work, you're with people. When you go to church, you're with people. You know, family, you're with people. You're always with people. But as much as we're always with people, we're being tested of our love. Before believing in Christ, you are where you are. But after you believe in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. We have no excuse not to pass the test of love. And there's different challenges. You know, there's easy people to love. There's tougher people to love. You know, temptation and trials in relationship is a challenge to love. Love is not so easy. But Jesus, you know, He was really challenged. If there is anyone who's challenge to love the unlovable is Jesus. His creation, He came and they did not recognize Him, rejected Him, persecuted Him. You know. In His ministry, like the Pharisees, Sadducees, you know, high priests, they were all against Jesus. But whether soft love or tough love, Jesus gave both soft, tender love to a woman caught in adultery. Does anybody condemn you? Neither do I. Very soft love. To Pharisees, he said, you whitewash tomb. He even called them names. To Peter, he said, get behind me, Satan. You don't have the interest of God. But Jesus loved in every way possible, but it was pretty challenging to love these disciples too. But He was faithful to love in the way they needed to be loved. Even the people who came to Him in the late night, protecting His reputation, Nicodemus said, you need to come out to the light. To the Samaritan woman who had five husbands, the one she was living with is not her husband. Jesus put His finger on a sore, open sore. Where's your husband? He didn't beat around the bush. He went right to the issue. But that was the love that Jesus showed. So love is more than just tender, accepting, you know, everything being fine kind of love. But love is to do what is best for that person. To say what is best for that person. To do what is best for that person. And every time we're with people, we're being tested. You know, whether to love or not. Somebody's kind of excluded. Do we have the concern to bring them in? And if somebody's overwhelming and obnoxious, you might have to give them some little, you know, speak the truth in love. So, we need resurrecting in our hearts to love people as Christ loved us, and that's what the Bible says in John 13. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, every man will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another, as Jesus loved. We know this command. We memorized it. But it's a challenge, right? Challenge to love among the people we're with. To love the way Jesus loved us. Great patience. Doing the very things that people need, to share the things that people need. But this comes from even John 15. It says, as the Father has loved me. It comes from the Father who loved Jesus. I mean, you know, God the Father sent the Son to be in the flesh. And so while he was in the flesh, he loved the Son in an amazing way, perfect way. Perfect way. And Jesus, the Son, loved the Father in perfect way. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. So Jesus loving us came from the Father loving Christ. And that was perfect love. And with that perfect love, Jesus loved us. So we're competing with perfect love. To love as Jesus loved us is a perfect love. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remained his love. So he explains how obeying his commands is to abide in his love. So there's commands all over the scripture. If we just, you know, the scripture, Old Testament, is summarized by love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love one another as yourself. Love others as yourself. So if we love, then we complete the Old Testament command. If we love God with all our hearts, if we love one another with the love of Christ, we're actually completing the Old Testament. We're obeying the Old Testament. And the New Testament is, you know, Jesus sets the pace. So Old Testament, there is no example of Christ, but New Testament, we have the example of Christ. So looking at Jesus, how he loved, we're being tested whether we're going to love like Jesus or not. In every corner, every direction. So how many of you feel like you need to be resurrected and love more? I mean, definitely myself. After all these years of pouring out my life to people, I still need to learn love. Maybe because I'm older and I need to learn to love the new generation. You know. So I wish and I pray this for you. May God, by his Spirit, resurrect your heart to love people as Christ loved you. In your family, school, workplace, church, and all of your relationships. But let's just stop. Christ loved you. Okay, let's say that to one another. Ready? Go. Add this and pass the test. Okay. Well, congratulations. We've come to the end. My last point. May God by his Spirit resurrect your heart for soul saving and spiritual generations. You heard this over and over again in our ministry. But we forget. We could forget. We could not remember, or our hearts could kind of drift. And, oh, that's Pastor Min's thing. Ah, it's something we talk about in our church all the time. But no, this is from the Bible. This is God's command. And I have no trouble saying the same thing over and over again. If it is something God is speaking to us through the scripture. And if you have the Holy Spirit and I come to the same place, you should say, that's the same thing. No, yes, I agree with that. I want that. I like to see that happen. Soul saving, I really want to see that happen. Spiritual generations, I really want to see that happen. So this is in the way of reminder. If you have once have done soul saving and spirit, you know, invest in spiritual generations, of investing in people's lives and helping people. If you're still involved, that's great. If you're kind of waning, may God resurrect your heart. Because it is from the Bible. Matthew 9, Jesus went through town, all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them. He had compassion for souls. He had heart for souls. Because they were distressed and downcast, or harassed and helpless in this version, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looked at the crowd with a compassion because their souls were lost. Distressed and downcast. Helpless. Harassed. By people, by the enemy. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They need the shepherd, Jesus. Then he said to his disciple, "A harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest." Who prays for workers in the harvest? People who have a heart for souls. If you don't have a heart for soul, you're not going to pray for more workers. We need some renewed passion. Our passion and heart need to be revived. We need renewal. Our ministry needs revival. Thank God for where we are, but still needing to grow. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers few. And we're called to pray to the Lord of the harvest. God the Father, who entrusted the nations to Christ, and Christ entrusted to go make disciples of all nations. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, send out, so that he will send out workers into his harvest. Well, this is a prayer that I prayed in my undergraduate years. Oh, no, after I went to Korea for a summer program. I realize how workers are very few. And at that time, Korea had a good number of Christians, but still workers are very few. So then I realized through this passage, actually this passage was what God revealed to me that summer. And I realized I need to pray for harvest. I need to pray for the harvest worker. But as I was praying for the harvest workers, guess what God said? You should be a harvest worker. As I was praying, God send out workers into his harvest. There are so many people who does not know you, and they need to hear the gospel. They need to come to Christ. When I was praying, that God said, you should be a harvest worker. So watch out. If you start praying for harvest workers, God might call you to say, you could be one of those. All right, I don't want to scare you. And the spiritual generation, 2 Timothy 2:2, once again, we see it and hear it all the time. But unless we are, our hearts are revived for it, and if our lives are committed to it, we need more of it, more heart. And the things which you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, Paul says to Timothy, entrust this to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others also. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying this to Timothy, say, you know, what you heard from me, what you got from me, the Paul, your spiritual father, what you got from me, in the presence of other people as well, entrust to reliable men. Go find reliable people. Go find faithful people and pour it into their lives so that they can teach others also. This is where we have four generations, Paul, Timothy, faithful men, and others. So, but the point is the existence, the reality of spiritual generation. It's not okay to just say, okay, I'm a Christian. I just want to be, you know, just a Christian, comfortable by myself. It depends on where you are spiritually. It's okay. There's room for that. You could just be a Christian, enjoying Christian community and just casual Christianity is even okay, depending on where you are spiritually. There's room for that. I mean, especially our new believers. Guys, just enjoy being a Christian. But let me give you a little hint there, you guys. How do you like meeting with me to learn the Bible?
I enjoy it.
All right. Jackie, do you enjoy it? Do you enjoy meeting with me learning the Bible? Oh, I feel like I'm twisting his arm or something. But of course you enjoy it, right? Well, just think, Jackie and, you know, Sam, if you enjoy Jesus and, you know, just learning more about Christian life, and you get older and you get another freshman, say when you get to be a senior, there's going to be more freshmen coming up. How would you like to pass that on to the next generation? Wouldn't that be great? It's a small vision. That's what it's saying in this passage. And but I know that some of our other guys, they're looking forward to finding a disciple, right? But this is biblical principle of generation from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And no matter how often I say it, maybe because I say it so much that you might get repellent. Is that a word? Repelling sensation. Well, I'm trusting you have the Holy Spirit. No matter how much I say it, you have the Holy Spirit to say, yes, my God, that's the way I should live. So wherever we are, in our heart for soul saving, or heart for souls, soul saving, for spiritual generation that God calls us to, I hope we can get revived. Our hearts can get resurrected so that we could be excited about these passages, excited about having compassion for the lost. And I'm not saying, you know, if you don't do co-contact evangelism, you're not soul saving. Nor relational. I mean, relation is only way either. I mean, either one. There's no one way. But in every way we can save soul is the way Bible calls us to. There's no one particular way. We need to learn every way possible. Even being like Andrew. Andrew said, come, let us go see the Messiah. This is called Andrew invitation. You might not be able to share the gospel. You could just go say, hey, Let me invite my friends. Come. Come. That's an evangelism. It's not always sharing the bridge that's evangelism. There's many ways to share. Soul saving in every way possible, and you know, hoping to be blessed with faithful men so you could pour your life into them. So hope that through them, the generation after will come. So let's wish that and pray that for one another. Ready? Get set, go. Okay, let's review the whole thing. Okay, say it together. First one, ready, go. Okay, next one. Next one. Next one.
May God, by His Holy Spirit, resurrect your heart to love people as Christ has loved you.
Next one.
May God, by His Holy Spirit, resurrect your heart for saving souls and spiritual generations.
And this Resurrection Sunday, we have the living hope for eternal life with God. But we have hope even in this lifetime that the Holy Spirit could resurrect us. More ways than these. I just wanted to give these five areas that we could hope for each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this Resurrection Sunday to remember how you loved us so much to come as a human being in the flesh and live the life that we lived and endure the suffering from even your own creation. Patiently love them. Pass all the tests of love, and you became our atoning sacrifice as the Lamb of God without sin. You who knew no sin became sin for us so that our sins would be wiped away. And by believing in you, that our soul would be saved. Now we've been born again. We have this hope, a living hope that you brought us into. And to even be resurrected today in many areas of our lives because your Holy Spirit lives in us. So Lord, would you bless our brothers and sisters of this church to be resurrected in at least these five areas. We want to pray to you, asking you to resurrect us all to your glory, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.